Shalom, damn it! Hello, everybody. Welcome. It is a thrill once again for me, Rabbi Sol Solomon, to be here on the Dave's Gone By radio program and to be talking to someone who I used to watch on television year after year after year. I would sit there, I would eat a nosh, I would have a little ice cream, maybe have a little pastrami sandwich, although God forbid at the same time, and watch a half hour of just pure fun. It was called Hollywood Squares, and we'd watch, and they would ask a question, and the contestants would try to bluff, and if they bluffed right, the contestant got their circle, or maybe they got an X, although I always rooted for the circle because the X looked like a cross. But the main thing is that I am talking now to the one, the only host of Hollywood Squares for about 15, 16 years. He's Peter Marshall. He is alive, he is well, and he is doing cabaret in Manhattan this week. So ladies and gentlemen, first of all, welcome, shalom, Peter Marshall.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you so very much.
You're very, very welcome. So first, I guess the main thing is, what, are you 86 years old now?
I am 86. I will be 87 in March.
Oh, mit mazel, mit glick. And let me ask, how are you feeling? Do you feel like you did when you were 66, 56, 46? How do you feel?
I feel like when I was 40. I feel great. Everything's good. My life is wonderful. I'm not into age. Age has never affected me. I think it's just been attitude and how are you and how do you look, how do you feel. That's about all I go by. And I have friends who are in their 90s who are wonderful, just healthy, and they play tennis, they play golf, they go out, and then I have friends in their 60s who are helpless, you know.
Well,
it's funny how it all works.
But have you had to, God forbid, any operations or heart things, or you've really got good being healthy up to this point?
I was sick when I was 60. I had kidney cancer.
Oh.
I was doing Lacajaflor. I did the national company for 2 years, and then I went to the Palace in New York, and it was Christmas time, and I had like 2 weeks off. My understudy took over, and I wasn't feeling right, so I went in, and they did some tests, and they found a tumor on my left kidney and a tumor on my right kidney, and the left one was malignant, the right was benign, so they took the kidney out, and that was 1985. So since then, I've been fine. I've had little ailments here and there, but no, I'm fine. I do. I'm married to a young lady who's we've been together 25 years. I met her when I was 60.
And she was?
And she was 25.
You, Craigle Robber, you. God bless you. Huh? How did you meet her?
I met her. I was doing Lacage, and she was in St. Louis. And I had worked the theater there a year earlier. It's the only time I worked twice. I came back to the Muni Opera, and I got on an airplane. This beautiful young lady was sat next to me. My mother was ill, and I don't know if you remember the singer Johnny Desmond, but he was a very close friend. And Johnny was ill, and I would fly out on my day off to see my mother and to go see Johnny at the hospital. And this young lady started a conversation, and before you knew it, I said, I'm going from here to San Diego, blah, blah, blah. She said, I've never been to San Diego. I said, well, join me in San Diego. She worked for TWA, so I had to pay for 8 flights.
There you go.
I said, well, you got your own room and everything, and which she did. And we started dating, and after about 2 years, I never thought I'd remarry after my divorce. And yet, there I am, and it's been, we've been together now almost 26 years.
But was it weird when you were dating this much, much, much younger woman? Were there issues of like, oh, she doesn't know the names that I'm mentioning, she's from two generations different from, I mean, was there an issue with that?
It wasn't an issue. It was kind of interesting, actually. I introduced her to my music is the 30s and the 40s. I was a big band singer. I was raised by a great singer by the name of Dick Hames. He was my son-in-law. And he was married to my sister, the actress Joanne Drew. And so she didn't know any of these people. And she didn't know anything about that music. And I taught her the music, and she's probably better at it than I am. She'll listen to a great... I say, who the heck? Well, that's June Christie, or that's Joe Stafford, or that's Chris Connors, or that's whomever. She has a great feel for the music, and it was really kind of interesting to watch her grow into my era. And
and did she introduce you to the musicians and to the culture of her era too, or no, you just stayed with yours?
Not really. I'm not really into rock and roll, and I'm not into the music of those are the things I do. In fact, the act I'm doing is a reflection on the 30s and 40s. It's called And Then She Wrote. It's an evening of women songwriters.
And even such as?
And I tell stories about Dorothy Fields and Betty Comden and Carolyn Lee and singers, writers you never heard of, you know, like Ruth Lowe and Mabel Wayne and Doris Fisher, who wrote all these hit songs. And I tell their stories. I work with two wonderful, very young girls.
Of course.
Back with young girls.
Yes. I don't blame you.
A young singer pianist out of Canada named Carol Wellsman, who's wonderful. And a young lady who's up for another Grammy this year. Her name is Denise Donatelli. And the three of us just, all we do is we tell these stories and sing these songs. And it's a lovely evening. And we'll be at the Cafe Metropolitan on the 11th, the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th.
That is right. And by the way, the Metropolitan Room is 34 West 22nd Street. It's right, I guess, is that Chelsea or Soho? I'm not sure what that area is.
That is Chelsea, yeah.
It is Chelsea. You can get there on the most any of the West Side subways. It's a block away. Very nice place. I've been there, the Metropolitan Room, to see And Then She Wrote, featuring Peter Marshall. Did you conceive the did you put it all together? Did you write the interstitial?
I sort of know that whole era. I don't know if you've seen my PBS specials, but I have two PBS specials that are very successful. One's called The Big Band Era, that I host with Nick Clooney, George Clooney's father. And then the thing, we have a fairly new one, it's about 6 months old. It's called The Big Band Singers, or Vocalists. And I wrote all of those. I'm kind of into that era, and I kind of know about all that stuff. But, so I put this together. Actually, I wrote this about 4 years ago, and I did it with, I don't know if you recall Mimi Hines.
Vaguely, yes.
They were a comedy team. I did it with Mimi Hines and Christine Andreas,
oh,
a wonderful singer.
Yes.
But Christine lives in New York, and Mimi's in Las Vegas and doesn't like to travel too much. So I redid it again with these young girls, and it's been very successful.
Now, speaking...
Hopefully New York will like it as much as we enjoy doing it.
Well, by the way, and if you want to see, there's clips on the internet, on YouTube, there's like a 5 or 6 minute teaser promo for this particular cabaret show. So if you go, I guess, to boysinger.com, you can get that link and watch it. It's very entertaining. But I want to ask you, since you brought up comedy teams, that is basically how you got your start, is it not?
No, I started actually as a band singer. I grew up in New York, by the way. I'm a New York kid. I went to New York when I was 12. And I was an usher at the Paramount when I was 14. I was a page boy at NBC at 15. And then I joined a band. My first job was at the Adams Theater, which is no longer there in Newark. And I sang with the Bob Chester Band. And then I went to war like we all did. And after the war, I came back and I teamed up with Tommy Noonan.
Right.
We became Noonan and Marshall. We were very, very well-to-do comedy team, especially on the West Coast. But we worked the Latin Quarter every year for many years, for a couple of months. And then I worked at Martinique in New York, and we worked all over New York. But we were basically a West Coast act. And from that, I went back into theater. I went to London with Cheetah Rivera in 1961 to do Bye Bye Birdie.
Oh, my goodness, really? I did not know that you acted opposite her in Bye Bye. What was Cheetah like?
Cheetah is the best.
Okay, but any anecdotes, any stories, any memories?
Well, yes, it was a wonderful year for me. There was an old drugstore out here that I can't think of the name, Schwab's. And I was a friend of mine, a fighter out of Texas, but then my buddy Turman wanted to go there. I never used to go there. And I went, that's where Lana Turner was supposedly discovered, but that's not true. Anyway, I was discovered there. I'm having lunch with Buddy Turman, and the guy walks up and says, "You're perfect." I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "My mother used to say that, but I don't really think so." And he said, no, they're doing Bye Bye Birdie in London, and they can't find a leading man in your program. Would you fly up to San Francisco tomorrow and audition for Gower Champion? I said, sure, I did. And 3 days later, I was in London. And, I heard about Cheetah. I saw her in West Side Story. Well, she's about as sweet and nice and talented as anybody's ever been. And we just had a wonderful year or so, and I brought my children over. They went to school there, and I went antiquing every day. And I was doing a lot of commercials for Ilford Film and Marks & Spencer. And it was a great year for me.
May I ask also if you have any memories or anything that you learned from being directed and choreographed by Gower Champion?
Well, the funny thing is, Gower was ill, and so he didn't really direct me. The fellow who directed me was Michael Stewart, who wrote the book, Bye Bye Birdie, right. And he was the best director I ever worked with. I finally did work with Gower, and I did the Vegas company of Bye Bye Birdie with the New York company, Kay Medford and Olds and Dick Gauthier. And I worked with Gower, and it was just wonderful to work with Gower. But it was like a week rehearsal.
Oh, it wasn't. So, but what about Mike? You said that Michael Stewart was
Michael
the best
Stewart,
director.
Who also wrote 42nd Street, who wrote...
Yeah. What made him the best director you ever had?
He conveyed to me exactly what he wanted.
Okay.
And, you know, most guys, you know, they beat around, you don't know what the heck they want. But Michael Stewart let me know exactly what he wanted, because I only had a week to rehearse. They were opening up in Manchester. They had been in rehearsal for 4 weeks. And I believe Farley Granger, the actor, had, but he didn't seem to work out. So they sent me over. I had a week to learn the book and learn the choreography and the stuff. And we opened, and Michael just, it was wonderful to me. He just let me know exactly what he wanted.
Now, speaking of, it's interesting that the pattern of someone else was basically in mind for something that you ended up getting. That was also the story of the Hollywood Squares, was it not?
That's true, and it's also my first Broadway show with Julie Harris.
Oh, wait, all right, start with that. What was your first Broadway? Was it Skyscraper?
Skyscraper, my first Broadway musical. I had done other shows, but that was my first musical. And somebody was in rehearsal, didn't work out, and I was doing a show in L.A., called What This Country Needs, and somebody caught me and said, and told them there's this kid in L.A. who would be perfect. So they flew me in, I auditioned, and I got the job, and I had no money. And so, where did I stay? I stayed at Cheetah's apartment in New York.
Oh, that is so sweet.
With her husband, then was Tony Mordente. And so I that was my first Broadway play, and speaking of one of women,
Julie Harris,
I would have been so fortunate to have worked with, you know, leading ladies who not only were talented to the nth degree, but they were just so kind and sweet and wonderful, and that's Julie Harris. So I've been very, very lucky in my whole career. I really have. You know, you hear working about terrible people. I've never really run into that.
Not anyone? Nobody?
Well, maybe during Squares, we would have a few people that were fairly distasteful.
Such as? If they're dead, you can say it.
Oh, no, I will not mention names.
Even if they're no longer on this planet?
Actually, the two people I think of are on this planet. So.
Oh. Well, did you have leverage? Could you say, as the host for all those years, and say, you know, let's not have them back on, or it wasn't your decision?
It wasn't my decision, but I did go to the producers, and there were two people. I said, please, either you have 9 stars, and if one person is, you know, negative, it brings down the whole show. And it wasn't difficult for me to deal with them, but it was difficult for the other people.
Oh.
Difficult for the director. And so I said, you know, I think it would be a great idea if we didn't invite these people back. But I didn't have any say-so. In fact, my sister, I had never worked with Joanne. And here's a young lady, my sister, who had done Red River and all the King's Band, and she wore Yellow Ribbon, all these things. We had never worked together. And so I said to the producers, I'd love to have my sister on the show. And it took some time to get her on, to be frank with you. And then when they got her on, she didn't want to do it. I said, you can't do this to me, Joanne. And she came on, she had a T-shirt, because I've always been either Dick Haynes' brother-in-law or Joe Andrews' brother or Tommy Noonan's partner. She came on with a T-shirt that said Peter Marshall's sister. And she was darling. She was, oh my goodness, my sister.
Is she still with us?
No, sorry. It's been a long time. She passed about 15 years ago. She's passed in my arms. I was holding her as she passed.
Oh, was she ill?
And she was, you know, our dad had died when I was 10 and she was 14. And mother took us to New York. And I've been raised by women, my grandmother, my mother, my sister. Women that have been very influential in my life. And here I am doing an act with 2 girl singers. And, oh, by the way,
yes,
my pianist is a female and the bass player is a female. So I'm surrounded by women and I love it.
And your wife is keeping a very close eye on you, I assume.
Not really.
Well, she knows you're 86, but still. But still. By the way, we are talking with Peter Marshall, not AKA, FKA. Your name was Ralph Pierre Lecoq when you were first.
Ralph Pierre Lecoq is my real name, that's it.
Now, I have to ask, did you take a lot of crap when you were a kid? Or was that a normal name?
Oh, no, I took all kinds of crap when I was a kid.
you take all kinds of crap still? No.
But my kids are all Lecoq. You know, my son Pete played for the Royals and the Cubs, Pete Lecoq.
Yeah, the baseball player, of course, yes.
Yeah, and my daughter Suzanne's a producer, and she's Suzanne Lecoq. And my they're all there.
Well, wait, why didn't they take the name Marshall when you changed it to Marshall?
They were Lecoqs, or Lecoqs, as they say down in West Virginia. They didn't, they didn't mind the name. I wish I had never changed it, to be frank.
Really? Oh, hello?
Wish I'd kept my name. You know what I wanted to change my name to?
Tell me.
When I was 15, I was always Pete Lecoq, and I got my job singing with Bob Chester. I wanted to change my name to Peter, my mother's maiden name, Peter Frampton.
Oh, my God. No kidding.
Yeah, they said that's a dumb name for show business. So my sister, John Robert Towers, gave her the name Joanne Marshall. She was a dancer in New York and a model, and she worked. In fact, she was in Jolson's last show called Whole Lotta Your Hats, and Al Jolson was madly in love with her. There are some wonderful stories about that. Jolson got me my first job, by the way.
I had no idea. Please say these. You're telling me there's wonderful stories. Tell them, please.
Well, he was in love with Joanne, and I was an usher at the Riviera Theater up on Broadway at 96th Street. We all worked as kids. I've been working since I'm 8 years old. But it was the Depression. Everybody worked. And nobody minded. It was wonderful. And anyway, he said, "Hey, kid, what can I do for you?" He was up there schmoozing my mother and myself. My mother couldn't stand him. And he used to call her Mom. And she was much younger than Jolson. Anyway, he said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "I'd like to be an usher at the Paramount Theater." He said, "Hold on." He got on the phone. He said, "Hello? Give me Bobby Whiteman or Bobby Shapiro." "Hello, Bobby. This is Jolie. Jolie, listen, I got a favor." "Yeah, right. Hey, kid, you start Friday."
Wow.
And that's how I got my first job around show business, from Jolson. Anyway.
You need to put that on your website, Engstein. I did not know. That's a wonderful, that's a terrific story. But anyway, please continue.
Well, I don't know what we were. We digressed there momentarily, and
the question? I don't even remember what.
I think we were talking about Lecoq.
Oh, well, there. Yeah.
Anyway, I changed my name to Peter Marshall because of Joanne and Joanne Marshall.
Ah, right.
And that's where I got my name. And John Robert Powers, who had a big modeling agency in those days, her name was Joanna Letitia Lecoq, and he said, "You can't go around that. You're now Joanne Marshall."
My real name is Moish Latuchis, and I certainly had to change that to Saul Solomon. It just totally made sense to do that. But can I ask? I didn't also realize you were in the war. Do you have any memory?
I was served in Italy. I was in the Fifth Army, and I was a forward observer, but I never saw any action.
Oh, thank God!
I wound up running the radio station in Naples, Italy, because I had learned how to, as a page boy, I learned how to run a combination, how to run a board. Because I wanted to be a disc jockey too, and
well, it fits. So you sound like a disc jockey,
which is a long, long story, Rabbi. There had been a radio actor by the name of John Raby, who I used to take care of. I'm walking down Via Roma, and I hear this, "Hey, Lecoq!" I turn around, and he's a captain, and he said, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, they're shipping us to Manila. We're going to invade Japan because the war was winding down." And he said, "No." He said, "I'm head of IED, which is information and education." He said, "I got two job openings." He said, "I got the job at Stars and Stripes." I said, "I can't spell." And he said, "How about this jockey here in Naples?" I said, "I could run a board." They made me a sergeant, and I ran the station. I was program director for a year and a half. So that's how I...
Well, that's a good way to spend the... I would go to war if I could run a radio station, let me tell you.
That's right. And it was a 50,000-watt station. They heard me all over Europe. I had a show tonight... it's 11 o'clock in Naples and time for yours for the asking. This is Sergeant Pete Lecoq and blah, 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 blah. I was known all over Europe.
And actually, I weren't you doing, I don't know if you're still doing, a radio, sort of a music of your life kind of radio program. When were you doing that?
I've been doing that for many, many years.
Still? Are you still doing it?
Off and on.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, AM radio has just taken a beating, as you must
sure.
know. And when I was with Music of Your Life many years ago, I started with, there was Wig Martindale and all these other, you know, all these wonderful people, Gary Owens and myself. We were 200 some stations. We're down to like 30 stations. And I just don't have time to do a lot of it because, believe it or not, I'm busy at my own, at my old age.
Well, you're busy doing the cabaret. What else are you busy and playing golf? What else?
Well, you're just doing stuff. You know, kids and grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
So I have 12 grandchildren.
Good vault! Wow, mazel tov!
And I'm expecting my fifth great-grandchild, so there you go.
Wow.
So I am busy doing something.
That's marvelous. That's marvelous. And we are busy talking with Peter Marshall, whom now we have to get to, of course, your years with television's Hollywood Squares. And just let the memories come. Any really funny, hilarious anecdotes, anything that had to go on the cutting room floor because you couldn't air it. Just whatever comes to mind.
That was the charm of the show. We got by with murder. We really did. We were, you know, they said what they call standards and practices, and we were so doggone clever. They didn't realize that we were a little off color. We did things that you just couldn't do in those days, but we did.
Such as, what would be an example?
Well, let me see if I can. I would say to Paul Lynn, is it true that? That a dog can have a litter from two different fathers, and he would say, well, that bitch. Those kinds of things. And we got by with all that kind of stuff. I can remember a joke. In folklore, which carriage would run around saying, I'm late, I'm late? He's only, yeah, that was Alice, and her mother is just sick about it.
that's pretty good.
That kind of stuff.
All right, it's, for the 1970s, that was pretty risque, especially from the middle of the day.
Oh, absolutely.
It wasn't All in the Family. It was.
We started in 66.
Right. Oh, wow.
60s and 70s, yeah, we were very, it was a fun show to do. I went in and did five shows. It took me 4.5 hours. I'd walk in, I knew rehearsal, I'd go over the questions, I would sit down and laugh for 4.5 hours, and they paid me all this money, and I went home.
I mean, it sounds like the most wonderful job in the world, but
that's not it. It's the best job I ever had and the easiest job I ever had. And it made me an entity of sorts. You know,
well,
I've
yes.
been around for a long time doing this and that. I was known in the business, but I couldn't sell 4 tickets.
Well, that's for most of us. But let me ask, though, if you read Wiki or some of the other bios, as much as you loved it and as much as it was fun, towards the end, was it true that you were getting a little tired of it, you wanted to move on, and so you would ask for astronomical salary increases and a network,
well,
which
I wanted to go back to Broadway, to be frank with you.
Yeah.
And so they would keep giving me all this money, and so I just would stay. And in fact, after we went off the air, I did another show for 2 years with called Fantasy with Leslie Uggams for NBC. And then they offered me the national company of... you got to remember, when I was doing Squares, mm-hmm. I would do Vegas. I also, they would give me 8 weeks in the summer. We'd get 8 weeks ahead. And I'd go out and I would do Guys and Dolls, or I'd do The Music Man, or I would do Cactus Flower. I did theater. And so...
It's just in the blood, isn't it? It's like you're making all this money, you have an easy job, you've got the media, you've got the attention, the fame, and everything, and yet you still, you have to get out there and do a show.
Of course.
It's you know, it's like Jay Leno still does stand-up. You have to. Is that true?
That's true. That's true. And you know, my kids will say to me, hey, Dad, why don't you just take it easy? I said, why? It's the most fun job in the world. And it's good for the brain, I mean, to learn all this stuff. We do 40 songs in this act I'm doing. We do 40 songs. Some are just one chorus of this and maybe
right.
a chorus and a half of that. But I tell all these stories, and we do all these songs. And for the most part, I knew all the songs. But now we're doing harmony things, you know. And it was a lot of work, but it sure is a lot of fun.
I'm sure it is. And by the way, I have to remind everybody that And Then She Wrote is playing through January 14th at the Metropolitan Room in Manhattan, 34 West 22nd Street. That's right between 5th and 6th Avenue. You should definitely check it out and check out the website of Peter Marshall, which is boysinger.com. It's a place you can find out about his book, which is Backstage with the Original Hollywood Square, published by Rutledge Hill Press. And also you can see clips, or a promo clip of And Then She Wrote with Mr. Marshall singing and everything. And I just have a couple more minutes with you, and it's been absolutely delightful and wonderful talking to Peter Marshall. I'm wondering, are you in touch still with any of, quote-unquote, the old gang from either the squares or the shows that you've done on Broadway and on nationally?
Absolutely.
Such as?
Artie Johnson and Joanne Worley, my friend Freddie Willard. It goes along and on and on. The ones that are still with us, I see. My neighbors, Mike Connors, who was on Mannix, we just had lunch together. I don't know if you know what actor, they call him Super Dave. His name is Bob Einstein.
Oh, he's Albert Brooks's brother. He used to
That's
do the Super Dave.
In fact, yeah. Probably too young to remember this, Rabbi, but his father was a great comic on the radio called Park Your Carcass.
Right.
And but Bobby's one of my closest friends. And there's a singer, pianist by the name of Frankie Randall, who I'm really... And we have a place in the desert, in Palm Desert, and we go down there for about 3 months a year. And yes, they're still around, and the guys that... And I had lunch the other day with Mike and Grant Tinker, who was very...
Oh, my goodness.
...head of NBC for many years. And then, of course, he had MTM. He was married to Mary Tyler Moore. He created the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Yes, yes.
And I just had lunch with them over at Bel Air the other day. And I'm in touch with everybody that's still around. Absolutely.
And Artie Johnson is still around. I thought he had passed, but...
No. Oh, gosh, no.
Oh, thank God. That's wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Well, wish him well. I remember him well, yes.
He travels all the time. He and Gisela, his wife, they're always on a boat somewhere. But he goes to the Galapagos, and then he'll go down here and goes there, and he'll go to Africa. And that's all he does. He just travels.
Why not? Who wouldn't if you had the opportunity? And you go to Hawaii at least once a year. I think I read that somewhere. Do you still do that?
I go to Hawaii because I have a son who lives in Kauai. Yeah, I go see my grandkids, my great-grandkids over there, yeah. Mom. You hear my animals screaming and yelling?
Yes, I do.
I have three dogs, and I think my gardener just showed up. So all that noise.
Oh, that's perfect. I just have one more question for the wonderful Peter Marshall. I know I've kept you a little over time, but it's just been so delightful talking with you. But one person that we haven't mentioned yet, who, since you said that Al Jolson got you one job and then you were going to do the Bert Parks thing for another, but didn't Maury Amsterdam help you get the Hollywood Squares gig?
Well, you know something? If he did, I was not aware of it.
Oh!
But I've heard that he's the one that recommended me to Heather Quigley, because I had been straight man with Tommy Noonan all those years. Whether he did or not, he was one of the kindest... I see Rosemarie, by the way, all the time.
Yes! How is she? Is she well? How is she doing?
She's not well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But she's having a knee surgery on the 17th, I believe. She's got arthritic knees, and anyway, she's... And of course, they were as close as you can be. In fact, it was Rosemarie's idea to put Maury on the show. But Maury was one of those guys who would write material for you, that he would go out and recommend you. He was just the kindest, most gentle man in the world. And he was a very talented musician and a writer. So he may have had, I'm not quite sure. I never asked Bob or Merrill, my producers, if that was the catalyst for me being hired. I should have, but I didn't. But it's quite possible, Rabbi.
Well, it has been just absolutely terrific and delightful talking to Peter Marshall. You can go see him, and then she wrote, playing January 11th through the 14th at the Metropolitan Room on West 22nd Street. Do you see yourself at all slowing down in any way?
I would hope not.
Good.
But I'm sure that somewhere along the line, they're going to say it's about time you went to pasture. But, by the way, we do two shows on Saturday and two shows on Friday. Two on Friday, two on Saturday. I think it was 7 and 9:30, something like that. So it'll be two shows on Friday, two shows and then one on Sunday matinee.
Right.
And then a Monday show. So the prices are pretty good, I understand. We don't, it's not like Feinstein's where I appeared.
Well, yeah.
That was frighteningly expensive. The Metropolitan is just a darling room, and you don't get killed price-wise.
This is, I mean, I think there's probably a base and a two-drink minimum, but again, it's not like Feinstein's where the base is $95 plus the drink minimum. You know,
right. I think there is a cover charge, but I don't think it's frighteningly expensive.
And in fact, at Feinstein's, I think they forced you to buy a dishwasher.
And I think, yes, and it didn't work.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Oh, Mr. Marshall, what an absolute pleasure it has been. I wish you great success with the show, with all the projects. Are you working on another cabaret thing after this?
Yes, hopefully. What we're going to be doing, they're having a big convention on the 11th. That's why we took this date, where all the performing arts centers have their convention in New York. And so hopefully we will have people come and see us. And hopefully we'll be working a performing arts center in your city soon.
That would be not come to Denver, please. Or, well, Greeley would be even better, but at least
Are
Denver.
You in Denver?
Well, we're in Greeley, Colorado, which is about an hour north of Denver. So do one in Denver and come up to Greeley.
There you are.
There you go. Bill Cosby is going to be here in a couple of weeks. So yeah, people do come here for some reason.
Every city has a performing arts center.
Yeah, thank God. It's tremendously important. Do you have any advice, finally, for people, for the kids, for the young fellas who are going into show business?
Well, I always say, if you're going to be in show business, if you want this, that's what you want, try to get a job around the business. Be a gopher.
Or a marmot.
At one of the networks. Get a job around the business. You want to be a writer, that's what I would get a job around that particular business. You want to be an actor, try to get a job at one of the studios, you know, be anything. And take lessons. Learn how to dance, learn how to fence, learn how to ride. Learn everything you can. Because believe it or not, I learned, my first job as a kid was as a tap dancer. I hated it. But it came when I, Bye Bye Birdie, I did the whole big dance.
Right.
Without that, I probably wouldn't have had the job. Learn as much as you can about anything and try to get a job around the business.
That's wonderful advice. And Peter Marshall, thank you so much. Everybody go to boysinger.com. Go see him at the Metropolitan Room. And just much, much continued health, happiness, and creativity, the most important thing.
Thank you, Rabbi. It's been my pleasure.
Mine too.